Hello, friends. It's Trevor. It's Avery. It's Pat. It's the citywide special. The Eagles register a resounding victory against the Rams thanks to an historic game from Saquon Barkley. After a shaky start, the defense comes up again. It's not all good news, however, as veteran Brandon Graham suffers a season-ending injury. Could this be the end for Philadelphia's longest tenured athlete? The Birds face another big test against Lamar Jackson and the Ravens on Sunday. The Sixers keep on losing without Paul George and Joel Embiid. What is left to say about this disaster of a season? Is Nick Nurse out of ideas? Is there any hope of them making the playoffs? The Flyers lose a hard-fought game against the Golden Knights on Monday. Matvei Mishkov continues his Rookie of the Year campaign. While the star Russian has exceeded expectations, does the rest of the team have enough juice to contend for a playoff spot? The Austin Hayes era is over for the Phillies. May he rest in hell. All that and more coming up right now. How's it going, fellas?
Pretty good. Preparing my body to eat a lot of turkey and sides in the next couple days here. A little back and forth of chilly weather. Today wanted to be 60 weather, but all in all, pretty good. Feeling high off that Eagles win still. So, yeah, can't complain.
Yeah, very true. It's greed season, as we call it. Hanging out with Trevor and Spruha the other night on Friday night, eating some food, some spatchcock chicken. Spruha, you did a great job. And then on Saturday, shout out Brandon and Stevie, had a Friendsgiving, ate a lot of food. Everyone came and brought it. We had a good time, ate well, feeling bloated, ready to do it all again on 2 days. This came up while we were there, actually. So while we were there, I asked for a doggy bag. So Stevie was packing me a doggy bag, and she goes, "Do you care if the food touches?" How do y'all feel about food touching?
What are you talking about?
So, like when you, like, have a plate of food, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, you like, want to get as – take advantage of the space. You want to get as much food on there as possible. Do you care if, like, the macaroni and cheese touches the sweet potatoes and touches the turkey – and touches the cranberry sauce? Do you care if they all touch?
Nah, I don't care about that.
Good. Yeah, I'm like, I don't understand people that do.
If it's all, you know, if it's all meant to go together, it shouldn't really be a problem. You know, it's like, I remember a while ago we got dinner at Tabachoy. Have you guys been there yet? That Filipino restaurant?
Yes.
But the place is sick, but they do like a $50 tasting menu, which is fucking awesome. It's highly recommend. But it's like, they were like, we can give you like a clean plate for the next thing if you want, but it's all meant to go together, so you don't really need one. So it's kind of like the same idea. It's like, it's all Thanksgiving food.
That shouldn't really make a difference. If you're at like a buffet and you're like getting a bunch of random shit, then maybe you don't want things touching. But like, I've never been a big skeever of, you know, oh my god, my green bean casserole is touching my — it usually is better when it's all kind of bite, when you got like a little bit of mix of everything, it's like, damn, the gravy's in with the mac and cheese and the potatoes are in there, like, I don't mind that.
If I just have like just straight up like green beans or something as a side, I'll like take those and just like scoop some of it into the mashed potatoes and have a nice bite.
It's all going to the same place anyway.
That's my philosophy.
And you're not it's not like you're mixing the plate. Like, if you're a real psycho and you get your whole plate and you stir it around, maybe like that's a different story.
It's not like people do that.
I'm just saying, like, that's what people act like when they're like, I don't want it touching.
That's
like
lunacy.
You're literally, even when it's touching, it's not even, it's still, unless you eat like the little kid from like, what's it called? The Christmas story, where he's like eating like a little pig and like just everywhere. Like, it's not going to mix in the way that you think it is. Like, shit's going to touch no matter what.
It's not like you're taking everything and putting it into a Nutribullet and making a nice little Thanksgiving shake.
Imagine a Thanksgiving smoothie.
Thanksgiving
shake. That sounds horrible. Yeah.
A wet gobbler.
When you're
that's basically what it'd be.
When you're ready to put in that work at the gym the day after Thanksgiving.
I mean, you will have a lot of protein from the turkey. Yeah. That is true.
If you can make it there, not get all sleepy.
Yeah, the tryptophan might knock you out. You'll be
Plus, usually by the time it's time to eat, you're a little buzz. You know, you've already watched a game, maybe a game and a half of football, a couple beers, maybe the wine's flowing. Yeah, who cares at that point? But I think it's weird when people get weirded out.
The one point someone brought up, it was not Thanksgiving food related, but just food in general related. It's like say it's the summertime and you're at a barbecue. Like, you probably don't want, like, your Caesar salad mixed in with like your barbecue chicken. Like maybe you do.
I know, I kind of like that though. Maybe you do. It's a good combo.
I mean, I don't mind it, but I can understand why people wouldn't want to combine like hot food and cold food at the same time.
I think like most of the time that you're like you still have the ownership of making your own plate of food. So if you know you are a freak and don't want it with touching, then you have to kind of plan out what you're going to eat. Like, you're not going to get then – you put beans on your plate, you're screwed because that's just going to touch whatever's on the plate.
Yeah, it's going to leak all
over
the place.
And then you can't complain that, oh, my God, my beans are my coleslaw. Like, well, you got two wet things. What did you expect? Unless you have a baby plate that has a little, you know, segmented little dishes in there for you to eat. It blows my mind that people still get weirded out about this. But this is the biggest holiday for them to be, like, probably stressing the fuck out already today of, like, how am I going to make my plate?
Man, your plate's going to be sparse if you worry about food touching.
Again, a little dollop of this.
Like, yeah, you're going to have a piece of turkey here, piece of cranberry sauce here, macaroni and cheese here. You're going to have like a spoonful of everything.
It's also the best holiday. It's the best way to blend.
You just have all these tiny plates.
Yeah. Yeah,
they do like tapas style Thanksgiving.
What's the fun in that? And then
we're meant to be gluttonous on Thursday, not meant to be segmented out.
Here's the other thing too, right? Is how do those people eat a hoagie? Are they eating it like charcuterie?
Well, that's my thing. So they don't eat any sandwiches?
Right. That's what someone brought up when we were having the conversation.
Peanut butter and jelly, they just have two halves.
Or like you're eating pizza and you take the toppings off and you take the cheese off and you eat the bread. No, it doesn't work like
that. I guess they consider that like one vessel, like one piece of food. They have to because you can't – that would just shoot their whole argument in the foot if you're like, well, I love hoagies. Well, what? Or like a meatball sub.
But yeah,
that's one – I don't know. It's one vessel, though.
It is, but it isn't. Like, the meatballs are separate from...
But that's what I'm saying. What's the difference between spaghetti and meatballs where you put the meatballs and sauce on top of the pasta, right? Like, if you were really weirded out about it, you would think you'd have a bowl of pasta and then a bowl of meatballs and sauce.
Yeah, I did say this the
other
night.
But for Thanksgiving, it's just like that. It's meant to all be together, much like it is when you're with your family or friends. You're meant to be together. So, big happy plate.
Big happy gathering.
I think it's anti-Thanksgiving if you want your food separated.
Yeah, I just don't understand.
Kind of goes against the spirit of the holiday.
Mm-hmm.
This goes against eating food. Like, you're supposed to eat food and enjoy it. And, like, I don't know, maybe you enjoy food when it's just separate and bland like that. I sure as hell don't.
Unless you got, like, I don't know, OCD or some kind of physical, like, a visceral reaction to, like, your mashed potato. I don't know. I'm sure people are out there that have some sort of thing going on in their head where they literally cannot eat when their food is touching. But I'm not trying to call them out. But I'm sure they're out there.
I don't get it. And I don't know.
Someone's out there. It's like, I have a disability.
They're listening to the like, what the fuck? They're at home right now eating their little food all separate and lift multiple different plates.
Hey, listeners, viewers, if you're out there and you're someone who refuses to eat food when it touches something else on the plate, email us and explain why. Or you can DM us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok.
That's why I'm going to eat my hot dog. I can only eat two because I eat a bite of the bun,
then I eat a bite of the dog,
and then I squirt a little mustard in my mouth at the end just to get a little flavor in there. A little spoonful of onions.
That's completely and absolutely different. Nah, you're coming out of left field with that. But anyway.
What's your I think we did this last time too, but I forget. What's your favorite? Besides the turkey, what's your favorite side?
I forget what I said last year, so now I'm probably going to be inconsistent. Probably mac and cheese, I think.
Mm.
Oh, no, you know what? I wasn't here last year when you did it. I had COVID for the Thanksgiving pod last year, I'm pretty sure. Dave Kiss filled in.
Damn, that was when we missed the recording of, like, the
video. Oh, the video when he was dressed up as a mummer. We got to get him back on soon.
That was right.
I got a bone to pick with him, actually. Dave, if you're listening, I already brought it up. I DM'd him about it on Instagram.
Well, the way they're playing, we're due for another little... Yeah. Bring the little alpha
back
out.
Yeah, we should get him back on here soon.
I'm a big green bean casserole guy.
I do like a bean casserole.
I love green bean casserole. With the little like French onions on top, nice and crunchy.
Mm-hmm.
Oof. Canned beans, though. I love canned beans. French cut.
Mm. I'm partial to a canned bean.
I'm into it. It's that Irish in me coming out.
Fair enough. Trevor, what you got? What's your favorite Thanksgiving side?
Oh, I'm a stuffing guy.
Okay. Now, are we talking box stuffing or stuffing?
That's what you usually
talking about
have.
In the bird?
Which is fine. Nah, just a separate.
Okay. Outside the bird, the box, stovetop.
Stofers, dude.
Okay.
Yeah.
Some brands do nail it on the head, I will say. I will say this. I'm not a big stuffing guy.
Yeah, I love it. I could eat that all day.
I like a stuffing, but it has to be made well.
I like mashed potatoes, obviously, but I feel like I eat mashed potatoes like all the time, like, you know, all year round. You know what I mean?
That's a good point.
Stuffing, I'm really not eating that other than Thanksgiving.
It's true. When else do you cook stuffing?
Yeah, that's a very good point.
This is their big week right
now. For Eagles tailgates.
Well, yeah, yeah. Well, you got to say, you got to bulk up. You got to get warmed up before you get into the game.
Yeah, mac and cheese, you do eat that year round.
Green bean casserole, you don't necessarily.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think I still stand by my mac and cheese, but cranberry sauce, close second in my opinion.
It's almost a dessert for me, though. I don't.
But it goes well with the turkey.
Definitely.
Hold up. So since we're talking about boxed versus made from scratch, cranberry sauce out the can.
I love it. Homemade. Canned. The way it pops out of the
can.
You
like seeing the rings on your stuff?
I love it. I think it's awesome.
That's my mom, dude. She loves the canned cranberry sauce.
Really? It kind of already comes like where you need to cut it. It's like, do I want a thick piece at this ring? Do I want a thin piece in this ring? Plus the way it all plops right out there on the plate.
I don't mind it. Like, I'll eat it either way. Call me bougie. I do prefer it made from scratch.
It's good. It's a different flavor. Like, you know what you're. It's a. You know what you're getting with the canned one.
That's true.
Someone who makes it, you don't know if they're making it too sweet or if it's a little bitter or, you know, whatever. But I don't know. The can is. It hits.
Yeah, fair enough. Yo, like one last thing. I make a mean sweet potato. Yo, everyone at the Friendsgiving had my sweet potatoes. Hey, y'all listening? And I know Nick, Hannah, Brandon, Stevie, whoever the hell else was there. Y'all listening? You know that mashed sweet potatoes was banging. I do it good, dude. I mash it up. I poured like a little bit of heavy cream, some butter.
Here's any honey?
Maple syrup.
That's what I was thinking.
And cinnamon and equal parts light and dark brown sugar. It's like dessert.
Hell yeah.
It's banging.
I like a candy
and a dash
like
of vanilla extract.
Oh, that is a dessert. That's good.
I make a mean. Maybe I'll make it if we do so, like something for Christmas, like as the pod or as a group.
Yeah.
I'll have to make it again.
I like a good candy DM. You know,
I love a candy.
Cut them up
like
in quarters or halves or whatever. Put them in the pan, low and slow. Get them all caramelized.
Yeah.
Oh God.
Yeah, yams are great.
Yams are real good.
But
at that point too, like you eat. I guess that was a good point. Mashed potatoes you do eat with, you know, pulled pork and everything really. But sweet potatoes I don't eat a whole lot. But candied yams or like that version of sweet potatoes really is like a seasonal thing for me.
Yeah, that's true. So yeah, you know what? I would probably put that up there too on my Mount Rushmore of Thanksgiving foods.
Easily.
Yeah. I mean, the turkey obviously gets a spot. Then we're talking the mac and cheese. Then we're talking the yams.
Mm-hmm.
Then I need to get a veggie in there. I need to get that fiber in my life. Yeah, I like a Brussels sprout.
Brussels sprouts are good.
Like a roasted Brussels sprout on Thanksgiving.
A little bacon in there.
Yep. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Damn, it's just giving me hungry.
Yeah. We're getting ready.
Yeah. We do have an email. It's actually from November 1st.
Damn, you got to check the email.
Yeah. Well, so here, this is in response to the episode that I did with Jonah and Andrew.
Mm-hmm.
Who's it from?
It's from our friend David McLaughlin. And he writes, "Dear Citywide Special Analysis Team, I recently listened to your geopolitical podcast and was disappointed to hear you insinuate that the U.S. dollar will be replaced as the world's reserve currency by a BRICS-based currency. In case you were unaware, there's currently no actual BRICS-based currency. BRICS is a loose association of nations, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa.
Oh, wow.
Each with its own sovereign fiat currency, and there are no official plans to establish a unified currency as the world's reserve. Even if such plans were announced, they would likely amount to little more than wishful thinking. There is virtually no chance of this happening, as the U.S. dollar reserve serves as the world's reserve currency due to the United States' unparalleled financial stability and highly liquid financial markets. None of the BRICS countries' individual currencies come close to matching the robustness, and the alliance itself is quite fragile. None of the member countries would likely be willing to prioritize the currency of another over their own. I was surprised to hear such superficial analysis. I encourage you to research the topic further if you truly want your podcast to become Philadelphia's premier source for geopolitical insights. Sincerely, Dave McLaughlin, concerned global citizen." So thank you to our friend Dave.
Thanks, Dave. I don't think I know you, but that's a great take.
Yeah.
Damn, well, you all just got roasted. We weren't here.
Yeah,
see,
we weren't here.
I know. Look, we were just trying to have a good time talking about the BRICS summit, but... you know, look, I'm not a...
Y'all got to come correct next time.
I don't actually know a lot about global finance and that kind of stuff. It's confusing to me, but...
Well, the listeners heard and they were like, you know what? I got something to say about this shit. Hold on now.
Well, hey, that's great. We got an email. It's not great. Yeah. It took us 3 weeks to check it.
Yeah.
So, hey.
We're still awaiting our first sports-related email.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
I mean, I don't really want sports-related emails.
That's all right. We got one in the bank.
Any kind of bullshit. Well, I promise I will check it more often if people will start sending emails. So, citywidepod@gmail.com. Keep those emails flowing.
86
We will read them as long as they are not too profane.
Even if they're a little profane.
Yeah.
Well, we'll read
just,
it.
Just don't be vulgar and whatnot. But so, once again, this is a call out to the folks that do not let their food touch on the plate. Please email us. I'd love to hear your rationale and your reasoning.
Yeah, we're open to, new ideas.
And from
tell us why we're wrong.
And from last week... Email us and berate Pat for only eating 2 hot dogs at Dollar Dog Night. Please. All right, I guess we're like...
Speaking of eating.
20 minutes in.
Speaking of eating.
We haven't talked about any sports. That's cool.
Saquon Barkley ate pretty well on Sunday.
No, he was feasting.
Yeah.
For 305 yards total.
Yeah, that's bananas, dude.
Yeah.
Like over 300 yards of total offense by himself. The Giants as a team only had 245.
Yeah, dude, it's so funny.
The rich keep getting richer. It's nuts. I mean, I think last week I said I was rightfully concerned about, you know, the game. I felt uneasy even Sunday. But damn, they proved me wrong for sure. I mean, even – I don't even look at this score as a true, 20 to whatever it was, 37.
The last touchdown was garbage.
Even the last one before that was kind of bullshit too, a 3rd and 13, and they give them that little pass interference, ticky-tacky foul. So, fine, you get in. But, wow, they showed out.
Yeah. I think the first couple drives, I was like, oh, this defense performance is leaving something to be desired. Mm-hmm. I mean, they were getting marched
they
up and down the field.
Yeah.
But they came up with the what was it, the fumble? The
fumble on the first drive.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, they came up with the fumble on the first drive, which is crucial.
Yep.
Just ended up swing momentum for largely the rest of the game. Like, the second drive, the Rams moved the ball again. After that, like, what was it, the second quarter, they had -6 total yards of offense.
Yep.
Like, the defense showed up. Vic Fangio, man, I said it last week. I said Vic Fangio owns Sean McVay.
And that he does.
Like, yeah, who's your daddy now? He punked him again. Yo, I don't like Sean McVay.
Yeah, he looks like he'd be a prick in real life,
He's a pretty boy LA douchebag, dude. I don't like him.
Yeah. That whole group.
He does the little ramp with his hair.
That whole group from Washington looks like they're a bunch of assholes in person. You know, you got Kyle Shanahan. You got McVay, Matt LaFleur. His name just sounds like an asshole. So, like... They just seem like they're just a little frat group, to be honest with you.
Oh, they totally are, yeah. I mean, then we got our boy Sirianni. He's not the part of that fraternity.
Definitely not.
He's the greaseball that shows up at the parties late.
Yeah.
And just, like, gets hammered and causes a scene.
He shows up for rush week, but he never gets in. Yeah, that's it. He's the one that they make drink the whole handle of vodka and throw up and shit his pants. They're like, come back next year. He's like, all right.
So that's Soriano as hell.
Bald Gotti era, though. 7-0, never losing again.
It's wild to think, man. What if that, like, that ends up being the turning point of the season? He goes bald, then he's up there with his kids on the podium screaming at fans, and we haven't lost since.
He always has these moments. Like, I mean, remember the flower speech?
Yep.
Yeah.
They were really great after that, and then shaves his head this year. Haven't lost since.
Out of the blue? I mean, that was a weird...
I've been... pretty critical of the man, denying that, but he knows how to press the right buttons sometimes.
He does.
In a strange way.
I mean, every player, it's not like there's a full... I feel like last year, even when we were winning games, the locker room seemed a little tense and uneasy about, you had Matt Patricia in there involved and people didn't really like him and the offense didn't know what they were doing and it just seemed a little ugly. Everybody seems very unified. They all love Sirianni. They're all buying in. They're all relying on each other. I mean, they're a very cohesive, consistent group.
Yeah. I mean, the vibes. I mean, it was this time last year. It was this week last year that we lost the Bills, or we won the Bills game. And then, like, everything just went downhill from there. But even leading up to that point, the vibes weren't great.
No.
Whereas this year, the vibes are on 100, man. Like, every time Saquon touches the ball, you got Slay, Zach Bond, N'Kobe, all these guys just getting hype watching Saquon touch the ball.
Yep.
Then one of the coolest things about the game on Sunday was when Kenny Gainwell scored.
Yeah.
Saquon was the second guy up there. He wasn't jealous or mad. He was happy for his boy, dude. Whereas in years past, I don't think you would have seen that on this team.
Yeah. No, Miles Sanders ain't high-fiving anybody.
Same thing about when people keep making a thing of Hurts keeps vulturing all these touchdowns from Saquon. But, Saquon's hyped to do the tush push every time they do it. No one's more into it than he is.
And his what's it called? His manager didn't incentivize touchdowns for his contract this year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he doesn't need to hit the touchdown mark.
And he's still getting his.
He still has
10 rushing touchdowns and 2 or 3 receiving.
He's still killing it. And I know he leads the NFL in getting tackled at the 1 or 2 yard line, but like you said, he's pumped to do the touch push. And until they stop that consistently, then we'll tap into but you don't need to force him to get crushed at the goal line when you have something that is almost a guarantee in every time.
Yeah.
It's just fun to see. I feel like, to your point too, this time last year we were winning, we were 10-1. We're I don't know, man. They're 10-1, but they don't look. They're kind of KC right now, where they're 10-1. Yeah. You're you barely beat Carolina. That's a good thing. You know, your first one, the 10 wins or whatever.
You barely beat the Broncos.
Right.
You beat them on a block kick.
Yep. That the whole league knows about. They have a weak left side that they've analyzed now and been okay, that they have a tell for some reason. But the Eagles right now are kicking ass. Number one ranked defense in the league right now. You got young guys showing out here and there. And the offense hasn't even needed to tap into A.J. Brown to his fullest extent, or really anybody else, because Saquon's just popping off. It's incredible.
Yeah, to that part. In their last 6 games, the Eagles rushing have 1,396 yards. Their opponents have a total of 1,314 yards.
It's remarkable.
That's insane. They have more rushing yards their last 6 games than their opponents have total yards. And there's some good teams in there.
Dude, their
Bengals,
pass
the Commanders,
is
the Rams. There's 3 good teams in that sample.
Mm-hmm.
You have the Cowboys without Dak. You have the Giants. And I forget who the other team is. The Jaguars.
Yeah, but you had Josh Jacobs out there running around.
You have 3 good teams in there, too. So, hey.
Shout out to those 3 guys, too, though, for honestly, Derrick Henry, Saquon, and Josh Jacobs for leaving their team, signing decent contracts. Market sending, really. But to both, all 3 of those guys leaving their team because they didn't get valued where they were at or thought they were at the end of their rope, and they're the top 3 rushers in the league right now.
Yeah.
Saquon, and it's interchangeable every week because Saquon goes off for 255. He's only leading Derrick Henry by 60.
Derrick Henry went off for 140 last night.
Something about that L.A. turf, man. It's good for running backs, but if you're the away team. And Josh Jacobs is right behind – number 3, I think down by 125.
Yeah, he was running over the Niners.
Yeah.
Was that the Niners they played? Yeah.
Yeah.
He was destroying those guys.
So it's good to see running backs kind of getting their flowers again real quick. Just because they change teams doesn't mean they're going anywhere, but that'll level set the market for sure for other guys. But, yeah, it's good to have Saquon on our team. Good to see Vic Fangio's defense truly blossoming before our eyes. I mean, you got a lot of young guys. It really sucks to have Graham go down like that after having arguably, his best game of the season.
Oh,
really.
He was balling.
Yeah.
He had, 2 TFLs, a sack, a quarterback hit on a third down that forced an incompletion. He was the man, dude. And apparently he was, shit talking. I think he shit talked, not a ref. He's someone during the coin toss that, you wouldn't normally expect to get any shit.
Yeah.
He was just, giving them the business. I don't remember who it was, but I remember seeing someone tweet about it or talk about it on the internet. Yeah, they're going to miss. It goes without saying they'll miss his locker room presence, a vet, the longest tenured athlete in Philly, still playing at a really high level. But they also just don't really have any depth in that position right now.
They picked up 2 guys this week already.
I saw KJ Henry. Who's the other guy they picked up?
They picked up a guy.
KJ Henry's on the practice squad. His stats, I have them written down here. He was what? A 2022 second? He was a pick of the Lions.
2021.
21. Second, third round pick, something like that. In 14 games, he has 22 tackles, 5 TFLs, 2.5 sacks. He's built similar to Brandon Graham. He's 6'4", 255, so maybe they look at him as the heir apparent.
They picked up another guy, Charles Harris, off waivers today. 29, 2017 first round pick from the Dolphins. Played for Dolphins, Falcons, Lions, Panthers, but he has 3 sacks this season, 19.5 in his career. So, 2021, he had 7.5, so not too far off from that. But they have, there's no groundbreaking names like JPP getting signed by the Eagles, but they picked up some relatively younger veterans, you know, in a sense that way, that hopefully can support, you know, the edge rush there a little bit. But, you know, you miss not only the production and just kind of the veteran presence of a defensive end like Grant, but you miss that, you know, energy, which no one can match. I mean, you can't – that's an intangible that no one can touch.
Hey, 68.
Yeah.
68, I'm coming for you, boy. Hey, 68, I see you, boy. You going down, boy. Yo, I love his cackle, man. He's the man. But, yeah, they're going to miss him. Oh, here's another name. The Detroit Lions released pass rusher James Houston. He had 8 sacks as a rookie in 2022.
Yeah, I saw that, too. So we'll see. I mean, there's people out there.
He could give you some intel on the Lions.
Yeah, well, they got a couple. Well, I don't know how recently they played for them all, but I think the other guy, KJ, played for Vic Fangio at one point. So that at least has some familiarity that way with the defensive scheme.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, all around, defense showed out. I mean, first, like you said, first couple of drives, you felt a little nervous because they were averaging, what, 8 yards a play just about. But they turned the page. I mean, that's, I think, for me, one of the biggest positives in this team. You know, you can always say Saquon Barkley or the offense or, you know, Quinion Mitchell, but this team truly adjusts at halftime like I've seen never before in the Sirianni era.
I mean, hell, not even halftime. They adjusted in the second quarter.
Yeah.
In a few games, they've done that. There were the first couple drives, they gave up some plays. Maybe that's because the defense or the offense is running off their script. But after the offense has to just go off their off script and just do whatever, like the defense is showing up. For the season now, the Eagles are 3rd in the NFL in point differential and 4th in fewest points allowed.
Yeah.
So, and like you think about after that Tampa Bay game when they just got throttled and how dire this situation looked defensively to where we are now, it's a complete transformation. And yeah, a lot of it is Cooper DeJean comes into the starting lineup, but I mean, I said it when we went into bye week. Fangio defenses take time for players to adjust to. I'm like, you've seen him adjust. Like, Zach Bond has been the man to Kobe Dean. He had that sack.
Yeah.
He led that the team. That sack was mean, dude, when he ran over Kyron Williams.
There was a lot of pancakes going down that game. It looked like a fucking IHOP out there. I mean, both ways. I know Malata got flipped, too, but that's going to happen around then. But our offensive line, and shout out to Kobe Dean for that, you know, led the team in tackles. But that O-line was just bolt rushing over guys.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah, but you had Becton threw a dude out the club.
Becton's been a, called that beginning of the season. He was a, he would be a guy that could be a potential, you know, all-star pickup right there. And he has been playing his nuts off.
Yeah, and Landon Dickerson, he threw a dude out the club.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Jurgens, he threw a dude out the club. They were just chucking dudes left and right. Dude, Fran Duffy was breaking it down. Grant Calcaterra was throwing some blocks.
Yeah, he had, I don't know if he had both, but he had the one for the, the record-setting 70-yard run.
He had Gainwell run. He had a mean block. And then on the one Saquon run he did. So, yeah, I mean, you got, like, the backup tight end just decking dudes. That's when you know it's on, dude.
And even Van Sumeren out there laying blocks. Oh, I mean, that guy's been doing for a weird linebacker slash fullback. He's been doing his thing. Reminds me of Leonard Weaver out there. Just a little short, stout kind of guy.
Yeah. No, the offense, I mean, the team as a whole, right? Like, they've kind of found their identity. They're physical.
Yep.
They're aggressive. They wear you down. And then by the fourth quarter on offense, on defense, you don't got nothing left.
I mean, defense wins championships, and this team right now is up there with the top defenses in the league. Up there, again, when it gets cold out, you're going to be running the ball. The fact that Saquon hasn't really taken major hits, like he'll get, you know, when he does those 2 or 3 yard runs, he gets hits, but he's kind of still leaning forward. Like he's kind of laying the damage on people. We're going into the cold weather now. People are going to stop throwing the ball so much and things like that. This team could really start taking off here. Not that they're not taking off now, but like they could really start doing some damage. No more, you know, garbage time touchdowns and shit like that. They could really, couple guys get picks, Quinion or anybody that gets activated that way. Cold weather, that ball's going to be coming out a little bit more awkward.
Yeah. We haven't even mentioned Jalen Hurts yet, but I thought he had a pretty good game.
Yeah.
All things considered. Like, I mean, obviously this was like the Saquon game, but I thought he took care of the ball pretty well. He took his opportunities to run here and there. I thought he looked pretty good.
Yeah, no, I thought that was one of his better performances. I mean, A.J. Brown had 100-plus yards. Mm-hmm. And Hurts, there are a couple of plays where it's under center play action, motion, and Hurts has to find A.J. Brown over the middle pretty quick reaction once he fakes the ball, turns around, and, like, he was reading the plays well. He scrambled when he needed to. Like, he didn't have a whole hell of a lot of runs, like rushing yards on the ground, but he had a couple pretty crucial, like, third down conversions with his legs that kept the chains moving. He didn't throw anything where I was like, what the hell is he doing? Like, he's usually been good for one or two per game where he throws it and it's just like, oh, that was a bad read. Or he throws it and it's just way off or something to that effect. He didn't have any throws like that I can remember. So, yeah, I mean, I think part of it was that the offensive line gave him a ton of time to throw and a ton of time to read the defense. I also think that probably part of it was basically a home game. So, like, yeah, he probably, like, felt that energy. And also, I do think that part of it is probably just him feeling more comfortable in the offense. I mean, not for nothing, but this offense, what did he say before the season, is 95% new. And he's had 13 weeks to kind of get used to it. It would make sense that he's starting to feel a little more comfortable.
And they're not asking him to win the game. I mean, he has the ability to do that if he needs to put the team on his back. But the way the O-line's playing in their aggressive state to want to run the ball and are executing at a high level, he doesn't have to do anything crazy, take any deep shots fourth quarter or anything like that. He can dink and dunk up the field when he needs to get a first down, hand it off to Saquon. Does enough to not lose the game. So that's all you can ask for. He doesn't need to be in the MVP conversation. That's totally fine. But he's not throwing red zone picks anymore. His ball security has been better week over week. You know, I mean, he stays on this trajectory. You throw, you know, 150 to 220 yards a game for a touchdown and, you know, a couple runs here and there. That's all you got to do. And I'm okay with that.
It's working.
Yeah.
I still think there's going to come a time. It might even be this Sunday.
It may be.
Where you need Hurts to air it out.
And I'm sure against Pittsburgh, too, he might have to rely on, you know, his arm a little bit more. But right now, the game is designed for us to just beat the shit out of you on defense and pound the rock on offense. And if need be, then air it out. But you don't feel as much of a heart attack when, like, oh, Devontae Smith's out. We're going to have to, you know, force to run it. And the other team knows that this team's been running the ball so well that even if you could block the box, it doesn't, like
try to stop it
doesn't matter. You can't.
That is wild. On the one Saquon run, the Rams, like Ferran Duffy was breaking it down, they had 10 guys in the box. And somehow it's still a 70-yard touchdown.
You can't stop. It's like, you know, so until that changes, I trust in Hurts to be able to take over the game if need be. But you don't need to force that game to happen. You can rely on the run. Let Saquon get a couple runs here and there. Give it to Gainwell. I'm waiting for the game they put Shipley in there before it's the fourth quarter, honestly. Because, like, the way this offensive line's running.
Yeah, let Shipley get his first TD.
Why not? I mean, the team.
He should have had it earlier.
He could have. And that was a great run against the Giants. It's a shame it got pulled back. But, yeah, I think that Hurts is. I think it's better for his. Whatever his little aura of being is, if he can just manage the game, do his thing. You know, I don't know how many of these big runs or anything else of that are him calling audibles or stuff like that too, which is hard to tell, but whatever, it's working and I'll take it.
Yeah, I will take it. We did have a couple Soriano moments in that game now we got to talk about.
The QB draw, what was that?
Yeah, the QB draw at the end of the half. What
back in your own red zone?
That was stupid. Apparently, like someone, I think it was Fran Duffy was saying that Hurts checked to that play, but like, I don't know. The management up to that play was still poor. Like, that was bad. Dude, what about...
Almost missing the fucking challenge flag?
Yeah, when he, like, was late to throw the challenge flag. And that rule, when they were talking about it on the broadcast, and Terry McCauley, the rules specialist or analyst, goes, yeah, as long as it's out of his hand and over the field of play, they'll grant the challenge. So you mean to tell me if he chucked it 20 yards in the air... and it was over the field of play, it would still be a valid challenge?
Throw it, like, as high as you can.
Yeah.
That, I never heard that before, but yes, he should
be quicker.
It's also kind
of wild that you can, that they can, that was a different thing I was talking
about. You're talking about the penalty thing.
Well, I was going to get that.
Where I declined is like, no, actually, never mind. That was kind of...
He said, wait, they're going for it? Let me take that back.
I had no idea you could do that. It does not seem like something you should be able to.
I don't think you're legally allowed to.
The refs were on some weird shit that game, but I'm okay with because it was us that did it. I was okay with it,
for sure.
Yeah, those PIs gave them their two TDs.
Yeah, they got gifted two touchdowns.
That was a weird. He's like, "Oh, you're setting up for you're going for a fourth down. Let's make it 3rd and 13."
That was.
I've never seen that before.
I was laughing.
I don't know why. I thought that the decision to decline it initially was kind of crazy because I was like, it's only going to be fourth and three and they're behind. Like, they're going to go for
it. Right. And they already did this before and they got it. Yeah. So, like, what are we doing here? And then you see the game last night and they instantly were like, we're going to accept it because we'd rather have it be third and 13 than fourth and three when they're going to go for it every time. Like, what?
Yeah.
He's still him.
Yeah. There's still some Suriano moments in there. But for the most part, he's done a fine job, dude. I don't know. I don't really have a whole lot of criticism to throw his way. He's good for a couple of these just dopey moments per game. But for the most part, he's been doing his job.
But he's our dopey head coach.
Yeah. He's ours and only ours.
Yeah.
So do you all think they get the one seed?
I think they got a good shot. The Lions still have to play the Bills,
their schedule's
the Packers.
Hard.
That's a
Bears twice, so those are easy W's.
They got the Bills, the Vikings, who are right behind them, the Packers, and the Niners.
But by the time they play the Vikings, isn't that their last game of the season?
Yeah, but they might still have some. If they're like a game back or
potentially,
like, they might still have seeding in the wild card still be to play in the hunt. For.
Yeah. Maybe. I mean, and the Bear. I mean, obviously.
Green Bay is right. But
their two biggest tests, similar to us, they have two games left. They're already a game ahead of us, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have the Packers, or we have Pittsburgh, and we have the Ravens, which is our two biggest tests at the end of the year, and they really have just what they got.
They got Minnesota, Green Bay, Buffalo, and San Fran.
I'm not even counting Buffalo. They got.
What do you mean you're not?
I'm not counting Minnesota. They got Buffalo and they got Green Bay. The Bears, I think, are the wild card here, where they could be a sneaky.
That's tomorrow or Thursday.
That could be a sneaky.
Yeah, they play the Bears twice.
You're right. You're right.
NFC North, when they're in Chicago, could be cold and weird out. Hopefully, it's a nasty weather game, and the Bears do some weird shit and. Caleb Williams has, a crazy game.
The Bears
game.
Have had, like, flashes of being good. They're just, like, kind of, like...
They're, like, the dark horse guy that you don't want to play coming down playoff push. They're
spoiler.
In an interdivisional rival. You know, it's like you're playing Dallas in a meaningless game. Well, they still want to beat you because you're still, the Eagles. I could see them being the one that would help us out. I don't think that I'm worried about Minnesota at all, to be honest with
you. Who is the Lions one loss against?
The Bucks.
Okay.
Who we've also lost to.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, because if it's tied, it goes to like NFC record, right?
So. Yeah, they have a better NFC record because we have the Falcons and the Bucks. They right now just have the Bucks.
So if we end up same record and they lost their other game to like the Bills, then they would still get
the. We need them to have an NFC.
If we end up with the same record and they lose to Green Bay, who's a common opponent who we beat, then I think we would have the tiebreaker.
But they need to lose. We can't both be, 15-2?
15-2.
We can't both be 15-2 if their second loss is to the Bills.
Yeah,
it
hopefully
needs to
it's
be,
to the Packers.
We need to
That'd
have the
great.
Packers. And that would be a big game, too. Which could be, is that in Green Bay? Hopefully.
I think it's in Minnesota. In Detroit. I think most of their hardest games are at home at this point.
Well, then hopefully, again, I think that Bears is going to be a team that we need to root for.
I think the Bears could mess around and win on Thanksgiving. They're 10.5-point dogs. It's Thanksgiving.
Who are they playing?
Detroit.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well,
Lions always play
it's
on Thanksgiving.
It's in Detroit, so like I can understand the 10.5, but it's Thanksgiving, man. Weird thing could happen. It's a 12:30 start.
Yeah. Could be Eberflus's last game if he goes.
It's a short week.
Williams wants that turkey leg, man.
Yeah. DeAndre Swiftson.
Caleb Williamson. Yeah.
DJ Moore.
DJ Morrison.
Keenan Allenson.
Let's get it, boys.
man.
His
sons are out.
What's his face still? Our old linebacker still with the Bears?
T.J. Edwards?
Is he still there?
Yeah, he's there. Yeah, I have him in fantasy.
Yeah. They got Bradbury too on that secondary.
No,
I think that that's a sneaky. I think our only two concerns are Pittsburgh and Baltimore coming down the AFC North. Everybody else we should take care of. I feel more confident in this stretch than I did last year this time. Even though it was just as easy.
Well, last year we still had to play the Niners yet.
Yeah, but we had Arizona, we had the Giants twice. That's true. It was pretty much a cakewalk, and
things were already starting to fall apart. Like the wheels were already starting to come off.
Our one loss was supposed to be just the Niners, and we lost a lot.
Yeah,
so we don't need to talk about that anymore. But I think that Detroit could get surprised by Chicago, which would be helpful.
That'd be great. Because, they have the sixth hardest schedule, the Lions.
And then we could drink some Malort for them.
Oh, that's a good call, actually.
I
need to get some more Malort, actually.
We should get some Malort just in case they do pull up an upset here for one of these games.
You got to order it offline, but I can. But, we got the 10th easiest strength of schedule. So, read into that what you will. Like, yeah, their harder games are at home, but
never losing again, never taking a plane again until February.
We will see. But I guess we can jump ahead and talk about this game a little bit.
Baltimore, yeah. What are you, 2.5 point underdogs?
I saw it as three. Three? Yeah.
Okay. So that's just a standard home field advantage, honestly. There's nothing crazy to write home about.
Neutral playing field, it would probably be a pick 'em.
Yeah. I think they're built eerily similar. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is the key factor here, but you have the top two running backs in the league right now against each other. I would give our O-line probably the edge here, so that would give Saquon a little bit more benefit. Receiving core, if we don't have Devontae Smith, I still think we have a better receiving core. I mean, Baltimore has speed, but they're not necessarily the most reliable guys. You know, Zay Flowers and Bateman and Aguilar still.
Yeah, Aguilar's there.
Like, they don't have hands, so hopefully there'll be a couple drops here and there.
Did they get Deontay Johnson? He hasn't been doing shit.
He had a couple drops, too.
I have him in one of my fantasy leagues, and I was really excited when he got traded, and I was like, oh, he's not doing shit.
Yeah, I mean, they're not, they don't.
He was doing better up with the fucking Panthers.
They're like a flash, they have explosiveness, so I'll give them that, but they don't have sure reliability, like, you know, Goddard and A.J. Brown have chosen to do. Even, honestly, Jahan Dotson, who doesn't get a lot of looks, but he does catch most of the balls thrown his way, so.
Mm. Yeah, he's got good hands.
His seasonal stats are like, I think, A.J. Brown eclipsed Jahan Dotson's full season stats right now in last week's game, but he catches if you give him the ball, he does catch it, so I'll take that. It'll be a big, you know, which defense shows up, I think. If we can contain Lamar Jackson, I think we win that game, but he is the X factor. That's like, that is the only tell right there, is what Lamar are you going to get? Is he going to choke? Is he going to run for 120 yards? I'm not sure, but I think we match up pretty nice against Baltimore.
And you know, as we were talking about earlier with Hurts, how at some point there's going to come a game where he really needs to be chucking the ball. Mm-hmm. And this, I think this might be it, because if you look at that Ravens team, what's their biggest weakness? The secondary.
Yeah.
So that's where you would think that they would try to attack and exploit that. Obviously, they're going to be handing the ball off a lot either way, but, you know, you should be able to take advantage of that. So you're going to have to rely on Hurts to throw the ball maybe a little bit more than he has been lately.
And they don't have Roquan Smith still going to be out?
He might be back.
Ah, okay.
I'm in a group chat with like a bunch of Baltimore guys there saying he might be back for
that
Sunday.
That would be helpful. If he's out, then their linebacker core is pretty thin. I mean, they played aggressive here and there. But again, I think the Chargers kind of...
The Chargers are a solid
team.
It
was two subpar receiving cores that went up against each other, right? Like, they're explosive, but they don't have any hands. I mean,
Quentin Johnson.
Quentin Johnson, Ladd McConkey, and Will Disley. Like, are you kidding me?
And Jalen Reagor.
Just off the names alone. When he got popped, I almost cracked. I almost pissed myself.
Yeah, really had Reagor versus Aguilar yesterday.
Oh, damn.
That was the fucking...
That's funny as hell.
Bad. But, like... You know, they almost lost to that receiving core. So you throw an A.J. Brown in that mix who can actually catch the ball, I think the Chargers probably win that game. But, yeah, their secondary, I don't know. Kyle Hamilton's been pretty good, too. I like him.
He's been banged up, though.
Yeah, but...
He's a great player, but he's been banged up.
He's no Ed Reed Blankenship, though.
Nah. He's not even Ed Reed, let alone Ed Reed Blankenship. Not our exciting white. But, nah, man... So I was talking about this before we started recording. Yo, Lamar Jackson has some great stats. It's only two games, small sample size. He has torched Vic Fangio defenses. They played him when Fangio was with the Broncos in 2019.
As a head coach?
Or maybe this was 2021. I forget when it was. He's played him twice. Once with the Broncos and I think once with the Dolphins. Lamar is 2-0. He's averaging 318.5 passing yards per game. Not total yards, just passing yards. With 6 TDs, no interceptions, then throwing 13 carries for 63 yards. Fangio's contained him on the ground, but Lamar has owned him through the air.
I'd be curious to see at what point in the year those games were, because historically,
I don't remember.
Historically, Lamar does pop off in like week 1 through 5 where he's looking like God out there, throwing the ball left and right. It's nice and warm out. He's launching it. Guys are getting open. this is typical Lamar Jackson, where like he'll have those games once in a blue moon come, you know, this time of year, October, November, all that. I don't really see, maybe November, December. I can't say October. That's when they really start. But he doesn't scare me that much down the stretch in that sense. He hasn't done that in a while, if I'm not mistaken.
He was looking pretty scary last night, even though he didn't have the best stat line.
Yeah.
But like the way he just evades pressure and just pulls plays out of nowhere, like that guy scares me.
He's not scary, but I think that those stats, because there was a couple games a few years ago when he was having like, you know, first 3 weeks, 4 weeks of the game, he's just going berserk. The one game he had a game like that, and they still lost. So like, it's just, you know, it comes down, he's the X factor. You can contain him, I believe, in our secondary over the Chargers secondary.
Yeah, I think our secondary will be fine. It's just like when he gets into all these off schedule scramble drill type plays, which, oh, that was something else the Eagles did. Hurts was like really good in the scramble drill. There were a couple times he was just running around, and I'm like, oh, he's just going to throw it away.
Yep.
He had the one where he found Saquon on the sideline.
That was a good one.
Yeah, with the knee down, that was sick.
Lamar is really good at that stuff, and like, you can't really defend it.
No, but our linebacker, like, you can't defend it, you know, for sure, but I think that this secondary has shown this season how versatile they can be, and having the linebackers actually be able to drop back in coverage reliably. I mean, we didn't have a Zach Bond before. If he was playing us last year, I'd be shitting a brick. I'd be like, yeah, we're going to lose this game by a billion.
Yeah,
but
we'd throw him for
500
the fact
that N'Kobe Dean's been able to have some pass breakups in key moments, and Zach Bond's been able to fly around the field too, that just adds to that layer of secondary where I feel like, you know, we should be okay in as best position as we could be to compete against Lamar Jackson. He's going to get his. He's going to have a couple plays where he probably breaks off for a 20-yard run or has a 75-yard bomb down the field to Zay Flowers or someone open like that. But, again, if you can cut down the explosive plays, I think we have this game in the bag.
Yeah, I mean.
And if you make him kick, thankfully, last Sunday, Elliott showed up.
Who called that one? Yours truly.
Me,
said he was gonna.
Obviously. No, okay.
But now, Justin Tucker, to my point last week, he's been bad.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So if we force the kickers to play, that can make it interesting. People are looking at Lamar Jackson versus Hurts, Saquon Barkley versus Derrick Henry. But in reality,
the real matchup
is Jake Elliott
versus Justin Tucker.
Versus Justin Tucker.
You know, I should have pulled the DVOA stats. I would be curious where they rank in special teams. Probably not good. I don't think the Ravens would be very good. The Eagles probably be a little better. But anyway, here's the other stat that I pulled. Derrick Henry, at least in the games I looked at, which was only three of them, but it's the three that I think mean the most against Vic Fangio defenses, averaging 21 carries for 59 yards over three games.
But weren't they in the same division?
No.
Tennessee?
The West versus the South.
Oh, gotcha.
And then the East versus the South. But yeah, in three games, like, Fangio's done a really good job against him. So, like, if there's a way for the Eagles to win, it's to build a lead early, make them one-dimensional, so like they can't run the ball. You take Henry out of the game.
Harbaugh's cut from the same cloth that way, though. They're probably going to both force the quarterbacks to throw. To Trevor's point, I really think that makes the most sense. I think
the Rams tried to stack the box.
I know,
and it didn't matter.
Your point, yeah.
I know. I mean, but that's what else is there to do? Leave it wide open. Like, you got it. That's, you know, you stack the box, you get blown out. It doesn't make me feel good to be like, well, let's not stack the box and try to – like, what are you going to – you have to. Like, you still have to do that. If Saquon's back there, you got to put some extra bodies up in the box. Otherwise, he's going to get his. Like, it's going to be a chess match. It's going to be interesting to see.
It'll be a fun game. As far as Devontae goes, I started following this doctor on Twitter. I forget what homie's name was. He was saying it's going to be a – thinks it's going to be a 1 to 2 week injury for Devontae. What is this dude's name?
That was after. That when it first happened.
It was leading up to Sunday night. It was like, yeah, Devontae Smith looks like a hamstring. Like, this guy knows his stuff.
So we'll see Deepak, at practice this week, if it's going to be this week or not.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, okay, he may practice. He may not. Deepak Chona. I think I said that right. He also had some Embiid stuff. I'll share when we get to the Sixers. But, he was like, yeah, hamstring, the way he's like, he like looked at it, like the injury when it occurred, he's like, yeah, that's like a probably a 2 week thing. It could be three. We'll see. I mean, it's gonna be cold. That hamstring.
It's gonna be tight.
I just looked up the weather. 36 degrees is the high.
It's gonna be cold this weekend coming up.
Yeah, so like that hamstring's gonna tighten up real quick.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if Devontae plays, but regardless, I could see the Ravens winning. I mean, they're a very good team. Keep in mind now, they played Monday Night Football. They had to fly back today or last night. They probably got in like today.
Holiday week.
Off day today or off day tomorrow. Holiday week. Who knows if they practice Thursday? They might only get practice in on Friday, and that would be a walkthrough. Such a short week for them with the holiday thrown in. It's going to throw some stuff off. I think Eagles fans are also going to be down there. I mean, we looked up the tickets, and they were more than we wanted to spend. But
I'll be physically down there, but not in the game.
I mean, Eagles fans were out in L.A. There's going to be plenty of Eagles fans there. It's going to be like a home game. So I think between the Ravens having a short week, who knows what Roquan Smith's deal is. That's a big loss for them if he doesn't play. And Justin Tucker being a question mark in this brisk weather.
Yeah.
I like our chances. Things will be a high-scoring game. Comes down to the fourth quarter, new executes. Eagles win 33-27. And the piss dream is alive.
I got them going 34-31.
Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it comes down to the boot.
The mule leg?
Yeah.
Yeah, after you were talking bad about my mule leg. Okay.
I said I was concerned, not worried, and he needed a bounce back game, and he did. He had to go out to LA, get the warm weather, do a little thing, a little whatever, go for it. But now you're back, shake off the fucking yips, you know, let's see what you got. It's only a quick little drive down 95. Go kick some balls around, you'll be all right.
Yeah. I kind of feel like we're losing this one.
Oh, okay.
Let's say 30-27.
Okay.
I think it'll be close. I think it'll be right on that line.
The opposite boot.
Well, hope I'm wrong.
I wouldn't mind if you were wrong. Then the dream of piss is starting to die. But, yeah.
yeah. But, I don't know. I mean,
never lose it again.
Due for one at some point, and this is going to be a tough one.
Now, here's the deal, though. If they win this game handedly... Well, I'll wait till next week, Dan. I'm not going to
get don't jinx anything.
I'm not jinxing anything. I didn't jinx it out. None of us said win-handedly, so nothing. There's no jinx out there. We're all close, pretty close game.
All right. Well, I guess that closes that book. Should we hit the Flyers real quick? We can save the Sixers for the end. We can just pile on them at the end.
Yeah. Flyers, pretty good game for them Monday against the Golden Knights. You know, Golden Knights are a good team. They got a lot of
They had a players. Bunch of dudes out. To be fair.
But, you know, you saw Jack Eichel. And
it's so wild how much better he is now that he's not on the Sabres.
I know, right?
Like the Sabres, although looking at the standings, Sabres are in playoff position right now. Mm-hmm. Not the playoffs start today. But anyway, you off.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a good game. Look, you know, it sucks that they played probably their best period in the third, but then they gave up that goal. They had more, more shots, more opportunities, but, it's just the way that goes sometimes. And then in the overtime, it looked like they had a lot of opportunities too.
Dude, they had a little power play there. Shots on the overtime.
And it just, I think they rang a couple off the post. Just, you know, just was an unlucky game for them. And then the shootout is the shootout. And that's kind of just a coin flip. So,
yeah, who was it that hit the post in OT? Was it Frost?
I think it might have been Sanheim.
Or no, Frost might have hit in the shootout, if I'm thinking back.
Yeah.
But yeah, Sanheim was all over the place in that.
Sanheim's been great all season.
He's been killing it,
dude. Probably his best year so far.
Yeah, for sure. And then Emil Andre got his first goal.
Yeah,
dude.
Good for him. He deserves it. He's been playing well.
Really good.
Yeah,
I didn't realize how fast he was.
Yeah, he looks...
For a defenseman, he's a fast skater.
Yeah, he's nice. Like an Emil Andre.
Quick decisions. Not the biggest dude, but like moves well. Controls the puck pretty good. Like, he's a pretty good offensive player, too, for a defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't really, what's the Shaq meme? I didn't follow his game.
I'm unfamiliar with your game.
I was unfamiliar with his game.
Apologies, I'm unfamiliar with your game,
Yeah.
And then, I'm encouraged by the goaltending, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, Fedotov, for as poor as he started out the season, it seems like he's kind of come into his own I don't know, maybe it was just a matter of getting used to the NHL a little bit, but you know, he doesn't look like a, you know, like a world beater out there, but I think he's going to be a serviceable backup. Of course, now that, you know, Ersan's out, so you just have Kolesov and Fedotov, basically two guys who I think would be like fine backups.
Yeah.
But you got to rely on them every game now for I don't know how long. So that could get a little shaky, but I don't know. It is what it is.
Yeah, Fedotov, I mean, I think I might have said this last week or 2 weeks ago. He's 28. You're not expecting him to get any better.
Yeah, he's not like in the future plans.
Kolesov's young enough that he could figure some things out.
Yeah, I think he has a lot of potential. I like Kolesov. He has like a lot of a lot more like raw athleticism. He's obviously a little smaller than Fedotov. Fedotov's fucking enormous. Everyone is. But
it's so funny watching.
He's fucking huge. But
even watching the game last night, I was like, damn, I forgot how large this man is.
Yeah,
dude.
He's enormous.
When he start when he like falls on the ground to stop a puck and he just sprawled out, I'm like, damn, this man looks like a beached whale. He's just so big.
Yeah, yeah.
What is he, 6'7", 6'8"?
Something like that. Yeah, he's huge.
And then on skates.
Yeah, so yeah, you give him another inch or two. Yeah, that's a big man, dude. Yeah. But now he's been solid. Like, he obviously don't want him starting a whole hell of a lot of games, which depending on Ericsson's injury, he might. And like a groin, you don't want to be messing with a groin with a goalie. You remember Brian Elliott had that core issue, and he was always banged up. He was also like 30-some years old, but still. I mean, I shouldn't say we're not going anywhere this year. I still think they could make the playoffs, but
seems like they might be like a bubble team.
Yeah, know? Realistically, they're probably going to be in the same position they were last year, where they were like on the fringes. Last year they were in the playoffs for much of the year till the end. This year they might hang on the fringes and maybe things break and they make it, but who knows? Yeah. I will say Andre's looking like a Sean Walker replacement, though.
Yeah,
like his offensive upside, he's like my boy Sean Walker.
Yeah, and he's, you know, young, so he's someone who could potentially be around for a while. So might have found a guy there, so that's nice.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, if you think about it, like Sanheim's like probably your one, like one of your first defensive pairings for the future. Like he's signed here forever.
Yeah,
and like if he plays at this level for the next few years, like
yeah, he could definitely be a first pair guy.
And then Cam York, he's still got some growing to do yet, but he could be a first pair at the lowest, a second pair guy. Then Andre, you figure his upside's probably second pair.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like you still need, like, that one stud dude, but...
Yeah, like what Ghost was supposed, Provorov was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to think, like, Matt Niskanen was that guy during the COVID season. Like, and then,
yeah,
then
he was
retired.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, yeah, I don't want to play for this garbage team anymore.
Yeah.
But, nah. And obviously also encouraged by Mishkov. Like,
yeah,
the game winner.
Yeah, he looks awesome, man.
The game winner against the Blackhawks.
Yeah.
Against his boy, Connor Bedard.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'll show you who was the best draft pick last year. Only had the one shot on goal, but it was the game winner.
Yeah, exactly.
Is he leading all rookies in goals, too?
I think he's leading points. And probably goals.
I got his stats right here. So 20 games played, 8 goals. That leads rookies. 9 assists leads rookies. 17 points. What is that? 0.85 points per game. All those are like number one for rookies, dude. And like when you take into account like most of his production's been on the power play, wait till he figures out 5-on-5, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, and imagine if he has a good center to play with at some point.
True.
Know?
Although Morgan Frost looked pretty good last night.
Yeah, he did. That was probably his best game of the season.
It was.
Maybe.
But, like, hopefully that's...
He had that one sick move in overtime that didn't... He just couldn't finish it, but like, oh, man.
Oh, the dangle when
that
he
was
like...
That silky
went, oh,
as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been so sick if he finished that, but...
I didn't know he had that in his bag, to be
honest.
I know,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's been in trade rumors, like, pretty much all season. And for, you know, I don't know. I feel like he's solid enough to be, you know, like a third line center on a good team. But for some reason, Torch seems to hate him.
Yeah, like, I think he's just in the doghouse.
I don't know. It's just weird.
He needs to go back in Torch's office like he did last year and just start screaming at him again.
But yeah, I mean, obviously the center depth is the biggest weakness on this team, and I feel like if they maybe next year's draft or somehow they get a real like solid center, I feel like that could really unlock Mishkov.
Yeah, so, I think the only way that happens is through the draft. Like, they're not buying. They'll probably sell. Like, Frost is probably gone. Ristolainen seems like he's been he looked good last night, too.
Yeah, he had a goal.
He's looked pretty good the last few games.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems like they're going to sell. Kutsis has been looking better, but his days of being a 1C-er
behind
him.
Yeah, I mean, he's obviously never going to live up to that contract, but I feel like he's been playing about as good as you could have hoped for.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, given how he looked last year and the beginning of this year, it was like, oh, my God, that contract's going to be a fucking albatross. Now it's like, it's not a good contract, but it's like,
yeah. Yeah,
it's maybe, like, manageable. It's just, you know, a guy who's a little overpaid, whatever. But, yeah, he's not going to be, like, he's not going to get back into being, like, a Selke winner or a Selke candidate or whatever.
No, not after two back surgeries and just age.
Yeah.
But now I was calling him a fourth line goon at the start of the season, saying he's just in here to fight people and beat people up. And he's been a lot better than that.
Yeah.
I'm eating my words.
Yeah. I mean, I guess where I'm at right now is there's some positive, you know, they're kind of top heavy with Mishkov and Konechny. They're some of their guys who showed some promise in previous years have been pretty disappointed. I mean, Farabee's been a huge disappointment this year.
I was talking about Tippett right before we started recording.
Tippett has not been very good. Forster hasn't been doing much.
Yeah, Lawton started to wake up, but he was in the doghouse for a while.
Yeah, and he's a guy who's, you know, who knows how much longer he's going to be around. And so, in the back of my mind, as excited as I am for Mishkov, like, I am kind of, like, terrified that we're seeing the whole like Giroux thing over again, where it's just going to be we have this one star player surrounded by just a bunch of like guys who are maybe good-ish but not like elite, and they're just going to keep being this fucking bubble team. And I don't know.
That's a valid concern.
I hope that doesn't work out that way, but
it's a true Philadelphia
maybe
sports
concern.
I
feel like that's just the trauma that you carry as a Flyers fan, because that's what it's been like for the past decade.
Yeah,
and it's like
valid.
I can just see it happening again.
Well, the way that they avoid it happening is they hit a 10-game losing streak.
Yeah,
and they can tank themselves right into a top five pick.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing
next year's draft is loaded with offensive talent.
And even if they don't get like a top five or, you know, top five, top 10, they do just have a lot of picks in this draft, so they can make some things happen. Maybe Briere can work some magic, make some things, you know, happen, make some moves of the draft. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, I feel like this offseason is really going to be super consequential given how many picks they have in the first two rounds and the fact that, you know, we're going to have a year of seeing Mishkov and knowing that this is a legit star, and that the pressure is going to be on to really put a team around him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think the cap increasing will probably help that out too, because they didn't have any cap space this year. So if they sell a couple pieces going into the next offseason with an increased cap, you can maybe next year's the year that they make a new move for not even like a top brand free agent, but like a mid level free agent.
Yeah.
That like, a vet that can be on your second line. I mean, hell, maybe you're lucky and you get a 1D somewhere, but I don't know. I think I would be content if they don't make the playoffs this year. Obviously, I hope that they do. But ultimately, like you said, it's going to be about the draft, and it's going to be about the offseason.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, Mishkov's probably taking that Calder trophy, I would think.
Looking like it. I think, yeah, I mean, he's definitely been outplaying Celebrini.
Yeah, Bedard. Who's the one guy on Dallas? He's been putting up numbers. I forget homie's name. Wow, what is this guy's name? Oh, this is bad podcasting. What is homie's name on the Stars? It's something with an L. I was looking at the stats. I was like, damn, he's playing good. What is homie's name? I can't even find. Stankoven.
That's
not an L.
Logan Stankoven.
Logan.
Yeah, he's been pretty good. He's got 15 points.
His name is Logan Stankoven.
Yeah.
That bitch.
Is it Stankoven? It's probably like Stankoven or something, but I kind of like
the idea that Stankoven.
Logan Stankoven.
Logan Stankoven.
I think it is Stankoven. But yeah, he's been playing pretty good. He's got 20 games, same amount of games, 4 goals, 11 assists, 15 points. He's a plus 4, plus minus. Mishkov's a minus 1. So he's the only guy that's like, okay, he's playing pretty good. Everyone else, I'm like, Mishkov's dunking on these dudes.
Yeah. Well, we shall see how it plays out with the old Fly guys.
So I guess from one rookie of the year to the other.
Yeah.
Although, should we talk about McCain first or last?
Yeah, we can start with the good.
Yeah,
we can go with on the bad. To the bad and the ugly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The good, the bad, that makes sense.
McCain's been about the only thing good about the Sixers.
Balling. Yeah, that guy can play basketball pretty well, I will say. Yeah.
Yeah, like even that Nets game, he had 30 points. Again, we didn't watch it. We were having dinner that night. Excuse me, Jesus. But yeah, he had a good game again.
Yeah.
He had 30 points. I watched the highlights down the stretch. It was him and Maxey just trading buckets. For the first time in like weeks, or not, I guess probably is weeks.
Yeah, weeks. What?
Yeah, for the first time in weeks, the Sixers looked like a coherent offense. Yep. And it was mostly on the strength of them two. And I think, I don't know, you don't really want to build your team, or not even build your team, but you don't want your backcourt to be two small guards, but they showed that it can work.
Someone was, I forget who was talking about that, though, that they were like, that's what Cleveland did, though. They got kind of a smaller backcourt. I mean, they have bigger guys. They have
like two centers.
They got huge guys up front for sure, but I mean, it's doable. It just depends on how you build forward from that, I guess. I mean, but yeah, I mean, Maxey McCain looked like they're definitely the future. I mean, McCain's been popped. I didn't see that coming at all. At least this consistently good. You know, I thought he would get his moment here and there, but I guess the injuries kind of forced that hand. And he's been doing some shit that you just don't expect.
Yeah, it's wild to think, like, if it wasn't for the injuries, he'd probably be in Delaware.
Yeah.
He'd be playing for the Bluecoats.
Yeah.
If all things was right, I mean, obviously, we're happy that we're seeing it now. So
down
just
there playing with Bronny.
Yeah.
Yeah, for real.
Smoking his ass.
Yeah, he probably would be giving Bronny the business, but, like, still. Like, yeah, it's just, I thought I had McCain stats pulled up, but I don't. But, yeah, I mean, he has, what, like, prior to the game against the Clippers, where they just looked disinterested, he had, like, what, 7 20-plus point games?
Yeah, and I think a lot of them were, like, in a row, too.
Yeah, and, like, I think 4 or 5 were 30, or, like, 3 or 4 were 30-point games. Yep. He had, like, 8 consecutive games that he made at least 3 threes.
Yep. He's killing it up there with AI and Embiid in terms of, like, you know, rookies and all that doing it. But
there was some shit where he was in a category, it was him and MJ.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't pop it off.
Yeah. So, he can paint his nails and be on TikTok all he wants.
TikToks are making it into the Eagles, too. They're doing the TikTok dance in the end zone.
Yeah.
A.J. Brown and Saquon doing his dance. Like, they suck. It sucks. It's unfortunate that the record is what it is, but at least McCain is, like, the one silver lining in the whole team.
Yeah. I mean, him and Yabusele, I've still enjoyed watching a lot.
Yeah, he's been fun to watch.
Yeah. He's a girthy lad, but, like, he can shoot. I didn't think he was going to be able to shoot that well. Let me see if I can pull his stats up from three.
He's going to love
Thanksgiving. He's been bombing some threes.
Yeah. Wonder what his favorite side is.
They don't celebrate Thanksgiving in France.
Yeah, but he'll be over here, though.
But I don't think his family is. His family ain't
over here.
He'll
be eating, though.
I don't know about all that. Probably. You're just saying that because he's a big human being.
Well, I didn't say that. You said he was big. I
didn't say he was going to enjoy Thanksgiving. I just said he's a large man.
I didn't say he was going to enjoy it by eating a gluttonous amount of food. I just said maybe he'll enjoy it because he's here.
That's what you were implying.
No.
Damn. He's shooting 41% from three.
Damn.
Okay.
That's good. 47.4% from the field. 41% from three? I did not see that coming. Even when I read his stats off in the summer when they first picked him up.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Nah, they're the two bright spots. The rest of this team is an abhorrent, abject disaster. I don't even know where to begin.
Well, last week we said they have a chance to go on a little bit of a run. That's all they need is a little kickstart.
Oh, Embiid came back last week and he put up 35 and 11. Yeah. We're like, okay.
We're like, a little kickstart here. You know, you're not going to get him all the time. But
I think last pod we were like, well, finally we'll get to see what this team is really supposed to look like now that we got Paul George and Embiid.
And then he got hurt while we were recording,
Paul George gets hurt. It's like, Jesus Christ, man.
So that went out the window.
Fucking team.
So I don't know, man. It's just there's no. I don't know how you dig yourself out of this shit, to be honest with you.
I don't think you do.
Their vibes are just awful.
They're atrocious.
In the basement.
Bad.
Below the basement.
Bad.
They're in the core of the earth.
You don't dig this up. You need to get guys from that show Chernobyl that like mine coal their whole life. You're like, all right, go find out where the fucking aura the guys, is on this
get,
team.
They gotta get completely nude.
Yeah.
And, well, yeah.
I gotta do the show.
We gotta send the team to the Russian spa in Northeast Philly, get all butt naked, eat some food, drink some beer, get your mind right, and then come back and play.
That's right. That's exactly, not happening. That's exactly what they need.
That's what they got to do.
Yo, but the vibes are like they're just all around so stinky. Yo, so before we or after we recorded last week, Embiid got interviewed after the Memphis game, and he said whoever leaked the team meeting was a piece of shit. He was
he's trying to find a rat.
Determined to find out who it is. So that's the first thing that happens.
Yeah.
Then, that was Wednesday. So then Friday, they're supposed to play, and Embiid nowhere to be seen before the game. And it's, or yeah, it was before that game. Nowhere to be seen before the game. He was questionable. And when the whole time, like, they knew he wasn't playing. And then come to find out, he wasn't going to play Sunday either. Paul George gets hurt. Then Paul George, dude, he has the nerve to go on his podcast after Embiid said, yeah, he's going to find this niche. And Paul George is like, yeah, it's messed up. They talked, someone talked about the team meeting. Then him and Reggie Jackson proceed to talk about the team meeting. It's that's, I think you should leave.
We
like
can hear you. You're on the.
Yeah.
That's guy in the hot dog costume, dude.
Yeah.
That is
Who the fuck crashed that car? We got to find this guy.
Good God.
I'm trying to find the guy who did this.
And then the other egregious thing he says is, yeah, we can't have Jared McCain leading our team. It's like, the hell you can't? You're not leading a team averaging 12 points a game, sitting on the bench, talking shit on your podcast when he's out there hooping, playing his ass off every game. Let him lead the team. You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
So then that happens. Then they come out and just get destroyed by the Clippers before the Eagles game. And a game that most people probably didn't watch. I watched it up until like they were down like 30 points.
Yeah, I watched like the first quarter probably.
But like everything is just terrible. And then they're supposed to play tomorrow against Houston. Paul George is out.
Embiid's out too.
Embiid's out.
Kyle Lowry's out. Caleb Martin, I think, is out. Questionable, yeah.
But then I was listening to the PHLY Sixers podcast from today. And apparently at practice today, Paul George said, yeah, if like push came to shove, I would play, but I'm taking it easy.
Push
like,
came to shove, dog.
Bro,
this is it.
Push is coming to shove. You're 3-14. Yeah.
Push came to shove like 3 weeks ago.
Yeah,
you're we're beyond like I don't feel like it. That it just I don't think the vibes are off. There's no more vibes on. There's no more vibes left to be off. They're just depleted.
Yeah, that might be a better
the
way.
The battery is dead. The charger's unplugged. There's no like I don't know nothing. There ain't no vibes on this team. They're not energized. They're not excited.
No, that Clippers game.
At this point, even if you do win a couple games in a row, it's not enough.
It doesn't matter.
They're not a cohesive unit. They don't. I don't know.
So that's the other thing. Like with Nurch. Yeah, he's Nurch now.
Nurch.
Until
Nick
he
Nurch.
Wins a couple games, he's in the Soriano Club. Mm. Soriano and Nurch. Although Soriano's out of it. But yeah, Nurch.
He called himself out. Yeah.
But Nick Nurch, man, like. The offense has no consistency. I'm like, I get it. Like, you've been rotating guys in and out, but, like, you can still run some plays. I feel like they bring the ball up court. They do, like, one or two pick-and-roll actions or, like, one or two, like, dribble handoffs. And then it's just two guys on the same side while the other three guys are just standing there. No one's cutting. No one's setting screens for each other. No one's moving.
Yeah.
I'm like, I get it. Like, NBA coaches don't call plays every time down the court like they used to. But, like, you have to run things out of, like, a series or a set. And they aren't even doing that. It's just lifeless.
Yeah. And I feel like whenever I see clips of him, like, at press conferences and stuff, the dude looks like a guy who's about to be put in front of a firing squad something. He just looks like a defeated man, you know? I don't know, man. It's not like they're going to do anything there. It's just he's the coach. And, I mean, it's... I don't even know how much of it is his fault, like what he can even do at this point, but it's just he definitely does not look like a guy that has any answers for what's going on right now.
He could be doing something, but he's
You also
just not
can't
doing
be surprised
anything.
That like you know you're not going to have your full
– right.
What you envisioned before the season is never going to happen this season from a roster standpoint. Like, you're never going to have a consistent big three, whatever you built, whatever you had, all this stuff. So, like, you have to be able to – you don't have to call every play, like you said. But at the same time, you know you're not going to have Embiid for most of the time, or Paul George, Maxey for a minute as well for some of those things. You got to be able to coach the guys you have, at least keep it close or something. You know what you have every game. Yeah, Embiid might be questionable and then not show up or whatever, but this is what you, this is the team this year.
Yeah.
This is what you have. I mean, so, like, accept it, own it, figure something out. Like, you got to – you're the last – he's the last resort.
Yeah.
I mean, if he's given up two, they're done. They ain't doing shit.
Yeah, the players are going to see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you pay him the big bucks for. This
like, you have enough pieces to beat – bad teams, I guess, but
they're not
they
even
can't
beating
even,
them.
No, it's just bad. I mean, we expected it to be a bumpy season, I think, before we started doing the pod, before the Sixers this season. Expectations were low. We got a little excited.
Yeah, expectations were high once you figured they had the best offseason.
We got a little excited, but we did temper it still a little bit. I don't think, I mean, we did not anticipate just a complete collapse of Rome.
No,
like, this is just bad. This is, you know, you got Boston putting up 50 points in a quarter,
and Cleveland's you got this, like 18-1.
You got the Sixers that can't even fucking pass the ball to each other or even talk to. It's just terrible.
Yeah, no, it's not enjoyable to watch outside of Jared McCain. It's just been an anemic viewing experience. I wouldn't wish it on my worst enemies, to quote Doc Rivers. But so Embiid. Some of this Embiid news is like pretty dark, dude. He's out with knee swelling. So I follow this doctor on Twitter. Spike also had this guy on the rights, Ricky Sanchez, but I've been following this guy for way longer than that. Brian Suterer. I forget what his YouTube is. I follow him on Twitter. But like he was saying a bunch of stuff. I'll paraphrase because it's several tweets and they're pretty long. But the issue with Embiid is he has had multiple meniscus tears in that left knee.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the thing is, the meniscus, when you do surgery on it, they aren't, like, patching it up or building it up. They're usually just removing the part that's torn.
Right.
And, like, it acts as, like, I wish we had Dean here.
So it's getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Then.
Yeah, I can kind of explain it. Yeah. Dean would be much better at explaining it. Dean, I know you're listening. But, Dean, you should come on the pod to talk about this more articulately than I am. But, so it acts as, like, a cushion between, like, your kneecaps, essentially. I think I have that right. Your patella, something like that. And, like, as it goes, once it's gone, it's gone. So then it's just bone on bone. And that's kind of what that's what we think. So he's saying this leads to more cartilage wear over time, swelling and pain. The unknown is how much of the meniscus has been damaged over the years and what the cartilage looks like. Then he goes on to say, I'm sick of teams talking about their star players' health in an unrealistic way. Repeatedly told Lonzo Ball would make a full recovery, and he ended up with a meniscus and cartilage transplant, for goodness sake. Now Sixers fans are going through with Embiid.
We can't give this man some cushion?
Well, I think that's like...
Put a couple little jelly beans
in. Yeah, can't put some duck fat in that bitch, call it a day.
So, like, there was, like, something called microfracture surgery, where they try to rebuild the cartilage, but it was never fibrous enough or strong enough to withstand it. Like, he has this whole tweet about
that. Can't put some fiberglass in that thing, then, or iron, I don't know, something? You're telling me in all modern medicine, we can't put a little cartilage up in that bitch, call it a day?
It doesn't work. That's what he's saying. That's microfracture surgery, which is what they used to try. And, like, they tried it with, like, Greg Oden. You may remember him from Ohio State back in, like, 2007. He was supposed to be, like, the next thing. He was just injury prone. Blake Griffin, I think, is another guy that had it.
Pull his cartilage out?
Yeah, and he was just never the same. So, yeah, ultimately, like, at the end of the day, I just don't think... I think we can officially close the book on Embiid being the dominant player that he was.
Well,
like I don't think he has anything left in his left knee to give, which sucks. Like, it really does suck, but I mean, that's the reality of the situation. And the thing that sucks the most about it is that this team and this roster was built to supplement him, but only meant built to supplement him if he was at his absolute peak or close to it. We might get Embiid close to it once a week, like we did last week when he put up 35-11 and the Sixers almost won. probably get that like once or twice a week for the rest of his career.
See, but that's the biggest thing right there is that he does, you get a glimpse of his peak and we almost win. So it's not even worth it.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the game that Paul George gets hurt in the second quarter.
I'm just saying, we didn't have Paul George last year, but like, it's just, we're going to have games, I feel like, where someone pops off and you lose by 10. It's like, okay, well, yeah, Maxey did great, but he's not the whole team. Or McCain did great, but he's not, like, yeah, there's, well, no, I mean, it's just.
You would hope your coaching can make up the difference in those 10 points, but like we said, Nurch hasn't done any of that.
No.
Yeah, I mean, well, I could sit here and bury the Sixers some more. Actually, I don't really have a whole lot of more negativity to say about them.
All we got to do is just suck the cartilage out and watch them suffer for a couple of years. That's all.
I just think Embiid's peak's behind him. Oh, that's the other thing. I said this other doctor I've started following on Twitter, Deepak Chopra, or Deepak Chopra.
Well, once RFK gets in there, we're going to change modern medicine, and we'll be able to just alleviate cartilage. It'll just be all kind of
real
shit.
Problem is that the real problem is that Embiid took the vaccine.
Yeah.
Maybe that is
made his fucking knees all week. That's all it is. Once we get RFK in there, we'll all be getting worms in our brains. We'll all be...
Yeah,
he won't even be thinking about that knee. He'll just be playing out of his mind.
So yeah, his brain won't be able to, register the pain that's happening.
It'll
So to summarize our sports science segment, not talking about the worms eating Embiid's brain. So this is from Deepak Chopra, the guy that I said had the Devontae Smith injury, being out like for 2 weeks. He said data suggests end of elite play is near. Swelling on knee that had two meniscus trims suggests cartilage lesion / arthritis, which, I mean, you can do whatever arthritis is, what it is. So he said, think Dwayne Wade from 2012 on. You'll see more missed games, major stat dips, likely stretches of brilliance, but not sustainable. Which is what I was saying.
We don't need this guy to tell us that shit. We know that. Anyone that sees Embiid knows that shit.
Like, it's just going to become more and more like of a trend.
But we know these are come on now.
I'm just saying, man.
If we need
you didn't know arthritis. You didn't know he had arthritis in there.
I didn't know arthritis, but like watching the man play basketball, you know that this shit. Yeah, of course the end is near. I mean, he's not chasing MVPs anymore. We knew that before the season started. We thought he would at least play and be more load management. Here we go. Not just not ever playing. This isn't load management. He's just not around. Yeah. He's not around as a locker room,
stoppage.
He's not around in the locker room getting guys hype or at least supporting his team. He's not around when he's out there playing. He doesn't seem like he's really in it. The dude's just checked the fuck out.
I mean, it's
no fucking cartilage or no cartilage.
It's got to be depressing. I mean, I'm not here to psychoanalyze him.
I'm not saying anything about that.
But like, I think mentally and emotionally he's checked out because like, dude, this sucks.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I don't know. We can have a whole episode where we psychoanalyze. Hey, that's an idea. Do we know anyone that sports psychologists or anyone that wants to come on the pod? I don't think we do. We don't know any doctors of mental health. We know doctors of physical health. We know plenty, but not of mental.
Yeah.
Do we have any sports? Hey, sports psychologists, listeners, viewers.
We may.
Hit us up. Yes, citywidepod@gmail.com. Yes. DM us Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You can DM us personally. We'd like to have you on the pod to talk Embiid's mental state. I don't think we really know anyone, but hey.
He needs them worms.
He needs some milk. Yeah, maybe he does need some worms.
He probably needs some milk. Milk and worms.
Milk would help make the cartilage stronger.
Yeah, he just needs to start drinking the unpasteurized milk.
Yeah.
So he drinks from the fucking udder. Drinks the milk, gets the worms through the milk.
Yeah.
There we go.
Just like daddy's out there like a spring chicken bouncing around.
Get some of that good bacteria, as they say.
Yeah, get some of those those sour milk enzymes in you. Oof. It'll help make his belly stronger. He won't be out sick with gastroenteritis anymore.
My uncle always said it helped if you're going out like drinking the night before.
Oh, you told me this before.
Mm-hmm.
I never tried that before.
Yeah,
I've
never done
it. It's a risky business because you drink too much milk and you throw up the next day, but... There's a fine balance.
Like that would feel uncomfortable the night of drinking. Imagine you're doing like, you're drinking margaritas and then you know you have a belly full of milk.
Well, it's the night before, so you don't, it just coats the stomach with the fat.
Okay.
Much like it would coat the knee with cartilage.
If only it worked. Well, maybe he just needs to get someone to inject a bunch of whole milk into his knee.
He had milk injection.
Instead of draining fluid, they just jack his knee up with milk.
A little eggnog?
Yeah. Maybe. Tis the season.
Although egg is, we're talking non-alcoholic eggnog.
I'll put a little coquito in there.
The
little...
alcohol will mess the knee up.
Just make it feel straight eggnog. Yeah.
Yeah.
No rum.
Okay. Maybe that'll help.
Maybe a little rum will help, man. Take the edge off. Stop being all. I don't know, man. Nothing can help this team right now.
Nah. Not even Jesus Christ himself, dude. Mm-hmm. I say that because Christmas is coming up. Jesus would look down on this team and be like, yeah, I can't do anything to help you all, man. Good luck in the draft. Hey, on the bright side, like, let's say things get really dire and, like, just saying they're, like, 5-20. At that point, like, if Embiid's still, like, on again, off again, just shut them down. Let them figure out, like, a long-term rehab to come back next year. Paul George, you clearly would rather be podcasting about team meetings anyway. You can go do that. Just shut them down, then tank. Because, dude, man, if you get Cooper Flagg or Ace Bailey, I don't know too much about him, but people talk about him a lot. If you get Maxey, McCain, Flagg, or Bailey, then you have Embiid coming back looking decent next year and Paul George coming back looking okay.
Got a stew going.
I mean, that's probably what I'm going to root for at this point. I'll root for Jared McCain to win Rookie of the Year. And I'll root for them to lose games so that they have a better chance at Flagg or Bailey.
That's a plate of food I don't mind them all touching.
Yep.
Damn, we came full circle with that. Good work.
Bring it back.
See, I did that? Mm-hmm. Nice.
Yeah. Well, I think that's just going to about do it for us here. Hold on. Do you have anything
the
else?
It's the end of an era.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The last pod at Wolf House.
The last pod at Wolf House. The last time a lad will live on Wolf Street. Probably, anyway.
Damn.
Yeah, who knows? But, yeah.
So, yeah, pour one. Can I pour one out since you're not going to live here anymore?
No.
What do you mean?
The carpet. I still haven't got that security deposit back, man.
Oh, well, look at that. It's been our light. Ain't going to see this.
Man.
Just pour it on this carpet.
All right, fair enough. But Wolf Street's been good to the lads for the last 12 years since Dean, Josh, Alex, and I moved in on 1309 Wolf Street to now this house. This house is cursed. Talk about bad vibes. The only vibes worse than the Sixers are the vibes in this house. So, Trevor, shout out to you for moving out.
Yep.
We will be recording in Club Bada Bing starting next week.
This is true. Yeah, we'll be down there.
Yeah.
So that's it. I'm sorry. I just had to get that out.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that will just about do it for us here tonight, everybody. Thank you for listening and tuning in. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review every podcast. Give us a subscribe on YouTube, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, Facebook. Send us an email at citywidepod@gmail.com. And from all of us here at the Citywide, good morning, good afternoon, good night.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Hard D.